The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The expectation is for this team to contend for championships.
I hit the bag when I wake up. Pound for pound, I'm greater. Nobody wanna step up to me.
Rodgers looking downfield.
Touchdown!
A gorgeous throw.
Prescott wings the ball. Touchdown, Prescott!
Boom! Boy, I'm undefeated. Leave you leaking at my feet. When you wanna be a legend, you just can't be beat.
Lowers his pad. Touchdown.
I'm built like that.
You just hate that I'm known and my name's on the throne.
Ooh, Aaron Rodgers versus Dak Prescott. We'll see it early November with the Packers and Cowboys facing off. More on that game coming your way in a bit. And remember, we find out the full 2022 NFL schedule tomorrow. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Rob Ninkovich is here today for the hour. Marcus Spears as well. What's up? Oh, hello, Swaggoo.
Oh, happy today.
Later, the reason someone here is a little nervous for Mac Jones or the Patriots play calling situation. But first, let's get back to what we already know about next season's schedule. The NFL schedule release show is on ESPN2 tomorrow at 8 p.m. We already know some of this year's big games, including the Broncos at the Rams on Christmas Day. Can't wait for that one. Prior to that, the NFL will have its first ever regular season game in Germany with the Buccaneers and Tom Brady facing the Seahawks on November 13th. And in week two, we got two Monday Night Football games with the Bills hosting the Titans on ESPN, the Eagles hosting the Vikings on ABC. And add this one to the list. Adam Schefter tweeting this morning that the Cowboys will travel to Lambeau for a matchup with the Packers on November 13th. This will be Mike McCarthy's first visit since being fired by Green Bay back in 2018. So, Marcus, let's get into the Packers here for a second. When you look at the roster, what is the biggest concern for you heading into this season?
Yeah, Boogie, it's that wide receiver room. I think everybody is going to talk about this ad nauseum until we start seeing this pay dividends. Think about this wide receiver room. If I told you I was bringing this into a game, and I'm not trying to throw any shade on any of these guys that I'm about to mention, but they've never been one receivers in the NFL. You see Christian Watson here, who they drafted out of North Dakota. He's a big physical wide receiver. Everybody wanted Green Bay. They took him in the second round, 34th overall, and they expect him to be a big-time player, especially with the tutelage of Aaron Rodgers. But this receiver group right now is Alan Lazard, who I think is a really good football player. Never seen him at a one. Randall Cobb, who's played tremendous football throughout his career in the NFL. Never seen him be a number one wide receiver. Sammy Watkins was drafted to be a number one wide receiver. Had some great years early in his career, but we've seen him tail off. So we don't consider him a number one receiver at all. We give credence to the fact that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers was not the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, no one would be comfortable with where they are at wide receiver right now with that void left with Davante Adams.
And I agree with Swag on this one because Aaron Rodgers has all the pressure on him. He gets the big contract. He's paid. You lose Adams. You lose your big-time receiver that accounted for the majority of all the yards in that offense. So now looking forward to this Green Bay team, it's all on him. He's going to have to be the guy. And listen, they ain't been back to a Super Bowl in a long time.
Yeah.
2010. I think what was the number one hit? Kesha, maybe, in 2000?
Oh, wow.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
We're bringing it back. TikTok, remember that song? Anyway, but – so just thinking about how long ago that is, and then when they do get into the playoffs, everyone's talking about them getting back to a Super Bowl, and it's been a long time. So Aaron Rodgers is going to have to put that whole team on his shoulders, and they're going to have to get deep in the playoffs because it's not good enough to just get to the playoffs anymore, especially in a division where who's the next toughest team?
Right.
The Bears? I don't know.
Yeah, well, we'll get into the Bears a little bit later. We'll also get into the Cowboys angle of this a little later. A reminder, this game on November 13th as the Cowboys will travel to Lambeau. Ed Werder has all the angles on this game. Check out this tweet. He said he checked for hotel rooms the weekend of the game where they were already going for $807 a night. That's out of our price range here, so I don't know if we're going to be able to go to that game. Let's continue with the NFC North. We go to Chicago, the Bears we were just talking talking about. New Bears head coach Matt Eberflus says he's building the offense around quarterback Justin Fields. That's the right thing to say, right? But who else does he have to build with? So let's talk about that. With Fields entering year two, Chicago actually has just one current offensive player selected in the first round of a draft on their roster. And that's Fields himself. You see him right there. According to Elias Sports Bureau, that's tied for the fewest of any team in the NFL. Here's what Bears offensive coordinator Luke Getsy thinks, though.
Of course, everybody wants Devontae Adams. Who wouldn't want Devontae Adams, right? That's part of it. But Devontae wasn't Devontae until he became Devontae, right? And so I think the system will enable some of these guys to play at their potential. And so we'll see what we can do. You know, we'll give them an opportunity to show them what they got. We can see that happening every single day, how much more comfortable these guys are getting and how much more comfortable Justin is getting with those guys. So I'm excited. It's been getting better every single day. I'm excited to see where these guys can go.
You know, I'm not sure if Getsy was going to be like, yeah, you know what, we got nobody. So obviously he's going to say something there. Jeff Darlington is jumping in here with us. We'll get to him in a second. But Marcus, are you buying what Getsy's trying to sell there?
Hell no, I ain't buying it. He failed to mention that Devontae Adams had Aaron Rodgers throwing him the damn football. That's a huge difference. You can become as much whoever you are. It will be facilitated a lot more with a Hall of Fame quarterback, a guy that we have in the conversation to be the best ever. Here's the deal with the Chicago Bears right now. Mooney is one of the receivers. Pringle is one of the receivers. And obviously you got Equanimeous St. Brown as a receiver with a second year quarterback that we watch have a tumultuous season last year with them trying to figure out what to do with him. I know it's a new coaching staff. Matt Eberflus comes in, a defensive minded coach. That's why I think they'll lean into this offensive line and David Montgomery in the backfield. But when you think about Justin Fields and where he is now, his athleticism will never be more needed than it is in this particular season. And I believe those guys on the outside will benefit from it. I've seen Pringle play well. I've seen Mooney play well. I think Cole Kmet may eventually become his top target, who is a young tight end that should be ascending in this league. But right now, today, Justin Fields is going to have to carry a heavy load for a second-year quarterback with a new head coach and a new system.
Yeah, and I think the best thing that they did was actually go out and get a new head coach that's going to create the offense that Justin Fields needs to use the skills that he has to his advantage and to use those skills, the ability to get out of the pocket, the ability to run, the ability to get out of those situations. And you think about last year, designed rollouts, just the designed rollouts, Justin Fields was 11 for 13 for 120 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, with an 84 QBR. Now, why would he only attempt 13 of those if he was so good at moving in the pocket and throwing the football down the field?
That was the issue. Because Matt Nagy was a genius, Rob.
Exactly. So Nagy is not going to work here anymore, and he's not going to be the head coach there. They're going to go and get somebody to make sure that the offense is hyper-focused on what the skill set of Justin Fields has, and that's moving in the pocket, that's making fits, giving fits to the D-line that's trying to get after a quarterback that can scramble, throw from the run. It's so hard. It's exhausting, Marcus, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what they need to do. And he's going to have to play really well. Yes, because Marcus said that they didn't have the pieces around him to help him, like an Adams.
Nick, first of all, that's a great Office Space reference. Second, to your point, you talked about the fact that they need to do more of what Justin Fields does well. Another important component, though, that I think that the Bears have taken this offseason is making sure they do less of what Justin Fields doesn't do well. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but he was sacked on 12% of his dropbacks last year. That's the most in the NFL. So this offseason, they went in there and said, why is that happening? They completely altered Fields' footwork this year. He used to drop back with his right foot forward. Now he's going to drop back with his left foot forward. I mean, we're talking significant changes that Fields believes will help minimize some of those sacks, reduce some of what they were doing wrong. So ultimately, I think the fact that they're not just going into this year saying, oh, he'll be better because Matt Nagy's not there anymore. They're going into this saying, we need our quarterback to make a jump. And it feels, at least at this point, like Fields is all in on that.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jeff. You talk about changing footwork, and it's easy to do in practice, right? It's easy to do in the lead up in camp, and I'm sure we'll see it on tape. Can you do it when you've got a D-line in your face, when you've got people coming after you? That's when I think we'll find out a little bit more. Let's stay in the NFC North. The Lions, Amon-Ra St. Brown, spoke about the talent he's seeing in Detroit right now. Listen to this.
And we have so many different guys, Swifts, even our running backs, our tight end, TJ. I think we got so many weapons now. I'm excited to see what Ben does with all of us. I think we're a complete offense now, if you ask me. So I'm excited to see, you know, what we can do.
So, Marcus, we're just talking about the Bears. Better offense this year, Lions or Bears?
Lions. Lions. It's not even close. We've seen TJ Hockenson, the tight end, ascend to a guy that we believe is a tremendous talent. DJ Chark had phenomenal years in Jacksonville with everything that transpired there. The injuries obviously got to him. We saw St. Brown just now, who had a really good year in the slot. You could put him in a lot of different positions. And then drafting Jamison Williams. Boogie, we were there. There were people that argued that this was the best wide receiver in the draft. Had it not been for ACL, he would have been the first guy taken. And might I add, I don't trust Jared Goff. I always think he is a liar because he can throw for 400 one week and then come back the next week and throw four interceptions. But ultimately, what he's surrounded with and how they've drafted these skill position players, you don't have to push the ball down the field far to have success. And as long as Swift can stay healthy, that backfield should be formidable as well.
Yeah, whenever Jamison Williams gets out there, let him push the ball down the field. He can catch it and run with it like no other. All right, still plenty to come on NFL Live, including revenge. Indy's new defensive end, Yannick Ngakoue, is hungry to play his old team in Vegas this year. See which revenge matchups we have circled for this season. We're close to finding out the full schedule. Plus, coming off an AFC North title, Joe Burrow and the Bengals are geared up for another run. But hear how Rob thinks is the best way to slow down Cincy. NFL Live is brought to you by Lexus ES, a direct reflection of you.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
The Stanley Cup playoffs first round rolls on tonight with these three game fives. The Penguins have a chance to close out the Rangers at 7 Eastern on ESPN, at 7:30 on ESPN2. The Caps taking on the Panthers with the series tied at 2 games apiece. And finish your night with the Stars and Flames tied at 2 games each, 9:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Also, tomorrow we'll have this season's NFL schedule release show at 8 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN+. The NFL Network will also have coverage. I'll be hosting with Teddy Bruschi, Damian Woody, and Adam Schefter, special guests Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, our Monday Night Football team. They'll take you through each team's schedule. We'll talk about the biggest matchups in this 2-hour special. Don't miss it. So we'll find out when the Raiders play the Colts. And speaking of that, there's a few revenge matchups for some players that will catch your attention. But Yannick Ngakoue already talking about it, recently talking about facing his former team, the Las Vegas Raiders, this season. He told Go Long's Tyler Dunn, quote, "They'll see how I feel when we play them. We go to their house. They'll see why they effed up. They're going to have to pay. They'll pay." All right, Marcus. So he's motivated. How does the addition of Ngakoue affect this Colts defense?
And that F stood for fouled up, okay, for all you mind, dirty mind people out
okay.
there. Okay. Okay. Hey, here's the thing. Give us a lead, and this defensive line can be devastating. Yannick Ngakoue, along with Max Crosby last year, those guys were terrors at creating pressure on quarterbacks. DeForest Buckner, we all know, is a top D tackle in this league. Kwity Paye showed some promise last year for the Indianapolis Colts as well. And when you think about this team in particular and how they're built. They still going to want to run the football. They still going to want to control it. But now having Matt Ryan will give these guys an opportunity to pin their ears back and make plays all over the field. And think about this, y'all. I got a graphic for y'all. Y'all know my man HB, Henry Buggy Owl researcher, hit me up with a great stat from the Colts. And it blew my mind, actually. The Colts were second in the league with takeaways and did not make the playoffs. Are you kidding me? So Matt Ryan being inserted in this offense, being able to put some points on the board in a consistent manner, but also taking care of the football is going to create those opportunities that Yannick is talking about with all of the people that fouled up.
I'm right with you on that one. Listen, this Colts defense could be very, very special. You look at their linebacking core and what they have with Darius Leonard and a young stud as a special teamer. Zaire Franklin, number 44, is a leader with a capital L. That's why they gave him 3 years, $10 million now for a special teams player. He's a fast player. So you look at this defense. What was the one piece that they were missing? Just like what Marcus is saying, playing with a lead. When you play with a lead, your ability to really just hone in on rushing the passer, getting after the quarterback now, and then you know as a linebacker, okay, what do I got to do? I got to cover. And they have team speed on defense. So if they can do that, if they can cover well, and they just got – who'd they get? Gilmore, wearing number five, going back in time to his high school number? Come on now. So you got Gilmore. He's going to come in there and be your lockdown corner, okay? Then you got your cover linebackers. Then you got the pass rush. You add that all in with Matty Ice playing with a lead, better quarterback play, they might overtake the Titans.
Whoa, there you go.
I'm telling you, if they play well in all three phases.
I got them pass them, Rob.
You got
them
pass.
I got them pass them right now.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's how much I think Matt Ryan changes the coach. Look, we saw this experiment 2 years ago with Phillip Rivers. We saw the coach have success. And I'm not trying to throw no shade on Carson Wentz. That's why I didn't mention his name when I was talking about all of that. But Matt Ryan is going to be not only a more competent quarterback when it comes to critical situations, but he's also going to be able to use the guys that are around him. Watch Michael Pittman Jr. take a step forward because Matt Ryan is the quarterback. Mark that down.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And listen, I mean, there's just that veteran presence of Matt Ryan that brings so much to the table in the locker room. We're talking about some of these revenge games as Ngakoue brought it up. Let's stay on that for a minute. Marcus, give us a revenge game you're looking forward to on the schedule this fall.
Oh, Boogie, it's the Bengals and the Ravens. Do you not remember us sitting in the studio on the following Monday after these games saying, what the hell happened to the Baltimore Ravens? Well, I'll tell you what happened. They had a tremendous amount of injuries. Marcus Peters, they end up losing Humphrey offensively. They weren't able to run the ball and control tempo like they usually do. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to have their hands full when they play the Baltimore Ravens. I was there. I know they chomping at the bit and got that one circled.
And I'm going with the Rams at Buccaneers. Are you kidding me? We're going to see the Rams, the Super Bowl champion Rams, take on the Tampa Tom Brady Bucks. We already know he's set up after this year. So guess what? He's going to be focused on winning another Super Bowl. So let's see if the Rams can get over this Super Bowl hangover, okay? See if they can actually put together something and get back to the Super Bowl. We ain't seen since Tom Brady in 03-04.
So you know, Marcus did not want to throw shade on Carson Wentz, but I'm here for the pettiness. And Carson Wentz returning to Philly for the first time. We'll get to see this. Now this team is in the same division as the Eagles, as the Commanders and Eagles will face off. This is fascinating to me when you think about revenge games. Also, who knows how much weight this game could end up holding when it comes to NFC East title. What if Wentz comes into Philly and balls out? I mean, I'm throwing shade, but I'm also saying he might. I don't know. He also goes to Indy. So Wentz has an opportunity for big-time revenge this year, you guys. I don't know that he's going to do it, but anyone think he will? Revenge? No?
As of right now, Boogie, them other defenses, they glad to see Carson Wentz. I'm sorry. That's so petty. Go ahead, Laura. I'm sorry.
I thought you said you weren't throwing shade on him. Anyway, you're not
what
sorry.
You did, Boogie.
Hey, listen, after the break, that's what I do. I rally you up. All defense is where we're going. How to stop each team in the AFC North. Hear which quarterback. Marcus says it's a late game. Go to church because prayer is your best bet. That's next on NFL Live.
Let's go.
You have a guy that you can win a Super Bowl.
Burrow fires deep.
Spectacular.
I can't go against Lamar. I just can't do it.
Touchdown, Ravens.
He takes it to the house.
And the Ravens are back in it.
Deshaun Watson figures he can be the final piece for a Browns team.
They're excited. They got their guy.
Mitchell Trubisky heading to the Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers select Kenny Pickett.
He will not fold.
Week we've had a lot of defensive guys in the show. It's been a whole lot of fun. Don't tell those quarterbacks we feel that way. We've been asking these defensive guys how to defend different quarterbacks in different offenses. So today the focus is on the AFC North, and we begin with Cincinnati. We're going to start with Joe Burrow, one of the league's best quarterbacks in the NFL last season when kept clean. In fact, when he wasn't pressured, you guys, he ranked third in QBR and first in both yards per attempt and off-target percentage. The Bengals have clearly looked to take advantage of that this offseason, signing three new starting offensive linemen in Lyle Collins, Alex Kappa, and Ted Karras. So pressure seems to be the key here. Nink, how do you go about creating that pressure as a defense and trying to throw Joe Burrow off?
Well, he's a pocket quarterback. So with all pocket quarterbacks, they want to throw the ball from inside the pocket. And the best way to get at a quarterback is inside pressure. So that's A and B gap pressure, double mugs up the middle. Yeah, Aaron Donald here getting after the quarterback. Because a quarterback like Joe Burrow, a la Manning, Peyton Manning, they want to step up into the pocket. Tom Brady, he wants to step up in the pocket. If you have guys in his face, even bodies of offensive linemen up inside, that makes a quarterback like Joe Burrow uncomfortable. So to get after Joe Burrow, you have to get inside on the pocket. Can't let him step up because that's where all the space is. So if you run past it, they love guys running past them. Yeah, rush the edges all day. I'll just step up in the pocket, evaluate, and throw down the field. So Joe Burrow, you got to get up inside in the A and the B gaps.
Look, this is easier said than done, but I ain't giving Ja'Marr Chase no one-on-ones. And I ain't letting Joe Mixon go off out of the backfield. Because if you give them the full repertoire of this offense between those two guys, you are going to die a fast and swift death. I'm going to make T. Higgins beat me. I'm going to make Tyler Boyd beat me and have them figure out another way to play offense and stay high-powered. But you see this dude number one on this screen? I know a lot of people got egos in this league. And Boogie, you remember this. I told Wink Martindale, don't do it when they were about to play the Baltimore Ravens. And he did it. And Ja'Marr Chase went off to the tune of like 240 on him. So everybody out there, I don't care what defensive scheme you have to come up with. Don't cover this dude one-on-one.
Yeah, throw your ego out the window, right, and just admit it. No player in the NFL recorded more receiving yards after contact than Ja'Marr Chase last season, so there's just not a whole lot you could do with him. Next up in how to defend AFC North quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson. And over the last three seasons, arguably no quarterback in the league has been more efficient than Lamar Jackson. Over that span, he ranks second in total QBR behind only Patrick Mahomes, second in touchdowns per pass attempt behind only Aaron Rodgers, and leads all qualifying players in yards per rush. So, Marcus, what's the key when trying to stop this Ravens offense?
Yeah, first of all, when you've been sinning all week, Boogie, you better go to church. That's what you better do before you play the Baltimore Ravens, because the Lord uses them to make you repent for them sins, okay? Listen, Lamar Jackson and this offense, the only way is to try to stifle the run game. And the reason why I say stifle and not stop, because you ain't stopping it. Mm. It's too many things coming at you. It's too many things to watch. You want to force Lamar Jackson to be a pocket passer. That is when we see him struggle the most as a quarterback. You got to rush with a mindset of keeping him inside. And it's like, this is very difficult to do. But we've also seen Lamar give the ball away. He gave it away at a high clip last year in some critical moments. That is how you defend against the Baltimore Ravens. But if you give him the full boat of what they do, that's a wrap when it comes to the run game, especially with those guys coming back healthy and being able to do what they do with Greg Roman calling offensive plays.
Well, let's take this all the way back to high school. We're playing option football, and that's what the RPO is, option. So I'm going to go against Thornton High School with Antoine Randall playing quarterback. So what you have to do is has to understand their assignments. The defensive end has to know, I have the quarterback. On every single snap, there has to be communication. Who do you got? Where do I at? Where are you fitting? Where am I fitting? I have the quarterback on every snap. if there's an exchange in responsibility, there has to be a verbal understanding that, okay, now I have the dive and you have the quarterback. So we see all these big plays because we see the RPO, that's what it does. It's trying to confuse the defender. It's trying to put two guys on the same person. And guess what? Lamar pulls the ball, and there he goes for a big play. Mm-hmm. So everyone being on the same page and communication, that's huge when you're going against the RPO. Yeah. And if you want to stop it early. You all have to be on the same page.
Marcus, you ever play against a future NFL guy in high school?
I don't remember. No, I don't remember Boogie.
Must have not been,
I was so
right?
good, I really didn't pay attention to nobody else.
Yeah. Oh, and you're that really, good.
Yeah. You they played against me.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're all talking about you.
Toot his own horn. Come on.
First round of Dallas Cowboy.
Was he first round?
Yeah, he was. Oh, stop. Are you kidding me? All right. Anyway, we continue with the Browns, guys. Deshaun Watson, who has multiple areas he excels at on the field. But one of his best is outside the pocket. And since entering the league in 2017, Watson ranks top three in QBR, yards per attempt, and touchdown passes on plays outside the pocket. Now he joins the Browns offense that under Kevin Stefanski has run the fourth highest percentage of designed rollouts in the NFL. That's important to keep in mind. And obviously, we're not sure when he will play. But, Nink, when you do start to think about a game plan for this Browns offense from a defensive perspective, what's important?
You got to get your chin strapped tight. You got to get some more air in the helmet because you got to stop the run. Number one, if you're going against the Browns and the running backs that they have and their ability to run the football, you saw it last year. They have a two-headed monster. Both of these guys are dynamic. They're explosive. They can get north and south. They can run the ball hard. They run hard. So if you are a defense, you're going to have to stop the run because in the NFL, I can't tell you that, I can tell you from experience, there is not a worse feeling than the offense literally just handing the ball off and you can't stop them.
Yep.
You can't stop them. So for them to progress as a team, now that they got the quarterback that they want to, they wanted to have a guy that could drop back on third and 10, but number one, you got to stop the run. And I think this team's going to be really good.
Yep. Yeah.
It could eventually be the most devastating offense in the league. And we know Deshaun's talent, and obviously we got to see if he can continue to carry that on from what we saw in Houston. But him getting on the outside, listen, y'all, I watched Baker Mayfield with this offense roll out at times on boots and naked, and he was wide open, had all of the field in the world. And when his receivers were covered, he didn't have that second gear to take off and complete with his legs. Well, now you have that element. You have an arm, you have a better arm, in my opinion, in Deshaun Watson. You got a guy that can do both. And when you look at this Cleveland Browns offense over time, like how we've watched them, Kareem Hunt, obviously, Nico just talked about Nick Chubb, but there were so many other opportunities that were limited, I believe, because of Baker Mayfield and the type of quarterback he is and athlete he is. So now you add Deshaun Watson into this offense, everybody benefits from it, but you also add an athletic quarterback. When he rolls out, usually he's going to be staring at 10 to 15 yards of wide open football field to take off on.
Specifically, what kind of pressure does that put on a linebacker?
A lot.
Yeah.
it's really hard because you are trying to rush the quarterback. You're trying to get after the quarterback, but you can't run past him. Because the worst place to be as a linebacker or pass rusher is behind the quarterback.
Right.
A guy like Watson, if you run past him, he's looking at the DBs. So if you're in cover five or cover one and their backs are turned, they're running with the wide receiver, he's got 20 yards to run for a first down and then elude and even make more highlight reels. So it's a balance to make sure you put pressure on, because you don't want to just stand there. And then also when you get pressure on him that way, you don't want to blitz too much because you need the coverage. So it's really tough. I know from experience, it's hard to go against guys like that are very athletic.
Well, if you talk about just the arm, the last time we saw Watson, he threw for over 4,800 yards and 33 touchdowns. Let's get to the Steelers, guys, where Matt Canada is entering year two as offensive coordinator for the Steelers. Plenty of questions. Of course, quarterback drawing the most attention, but there are plenty of other areas that need to improve with whoever is starting under center. Last season, Pittsburgh ranked second to last in pass block win rate and near the bottom of the league in average separation on passes, drop percentage, and yards per rush. It's the offense as a whole. Now you add a new quarterback under center. We'll see exactly who it is. Defense have to be kind of licking their chops at this point. Marcus, how would you attack the Steelers offense?
As simple as this, Boogie, make the quarterback beat us, whoever the hell the quarterback going to be. We are going to force him to beat us. I'm going to stack the box against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to dare Mitchell Trubisky or if it's Kenny Pickett eventually to beat us over the top with Chase Claypool and the weapons that they have offensively on the outside, which are good, by the way. They have formidable guys on the outside. The two issues we talked about with the Pittsburgh Steelers was their offensive line, and I truly believe they improved their run game like we saw last year with Najee Harris. I'm not letting Najee Harris beat me. I'm not letting the run game get going. Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, you are going to have to throw me out of this football game and cause me to lose it. And if you do, I can live with that. I can't live with giving up 150 and making it comfortable for those signal callers, whichever one it will be as the season goes along.
And if it's Pickett, a rookie, you're licking your chops as a defensive coordinator or defense because you're going to try and hide all your coverages. You're going to blitz. You're going to get after them because they do have an offensive line that struggled. But you want to get the rookie, the younger players in longer down and distances. So early in first and second down, you could kind of throw stuff at him that he hasn't seen before, and you hopefully get him in longer down and distances because the Steelers on third and 10-plus – are one of the worst teams, the second lowest conversion rate on third and 10-plus in the NFL. So you add that with a rookie and a bad offensive line, that is not a good combination. Woo. It's good if you're a defensive end or a linebacker because you might get a few more sacks. Right. But, you know, I think the Steelers right now, we have to figure out what they have. You know, is Trubisky the veteran? Is he going to come in and be a completely different player? Or is the rookie going to come in and be the starter from day one? We don't know. We don't know what this offense is going
to
look like.
Yeah, lots of uncertainty there. All right, Rob, you ready to talk a little Patriots next on the show?
Why not?
Let's go. Coming up, with no true play caller and number one threat in New England, does Mac Jones have enough success around him to have a good sophomore season? Marcus has concerns, plus a live report from Patriots reporter Mike Reese. That's all next on NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We're back on NFL Live, and a handful of quarterbacks enter a critical year two next season. Patriots quarterback Mac Jones is one of them. Statistically, he had a great rookie campaign, but Josh McDaniels has departed for the Raiders head job, and things will look different for Mac. If you want to know more, here's wide receiver Nelson Agholor on play calling.
Who's your receivers coach this year?
Got a bunch of guys. You got to ask Coach Belichick, you know.
And who's your offensive coordinator or pass game coordinator?
You're going to have to ask Coach Belichick that
one. Okay, fair enough. I thought that's what you say.
All right, so let's get ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese in here. Mike, you heard what Agholor just said there. Do you get a sense of who will be calling plays for Mac Jones this season?
All right, Laura, I'm going to set the stage for you here from New England. They're in the second week of the second phase of the voluntary offseason program. So that means there's individual and group instruction and drills on the field. No media has been present for any of it. Mm. So really, no one has seen anything, Laura. So you have to go by what you're told. And here's something that was relayed to me, that if you are on the field for these sessions and you just closed your eyes and listened, you would know who the leading presence is for the offense among the coaches. The voices of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge standing above everyone else. They are leading this offense. Now, Bill Belichick hasn't said who is going to call the plays, but it will most likely be one of those two. And Laura, I got the number two pencil. I'm going to put it in the ear because I'm told don't be surprised if it's Matt Patricia, who always has that number two pencil in the ear.
I love it. That's a good look for you, by the way, Mike. I feel like the pencil is very large, or either your ears are smaller than I thought, which is always a good thing. Yeah. As someone who seemingly has bigger ears than I realize myself. Thanks to Mike. Listen, Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are both guys that have head coaching experience. Marcus, how concerning is the lack of clarity, though, here when it comes to Mac Jones' growth this season?
Clarity? I don't care about no clarity. Did we just watch what Matt Patricia and Joe Judge did at their respective head coaching jobs? I don't know if I would be comfortable at all with a second-year quarterback. Tom Brady ain't the quarterback no more. Ain't nobody gonna overcome your bad situations in games if you count on Mac Jones to do that. And I think Mac Jones is gonna eventually be a phenomenal football player. But we saw the young man struggle last year when it had to become a passing game and it wasn't help being facilitated by a run game. Look, naming of an OC, I ain't all crazy and big on that. But these two names, they bother me. They bother me because of what I've just seen, how the Giants were last in offense with Joe Judge leading the way. And I know people gonna say, well, that was Jason Garrett. He was the head coach. So now you're gonna have him call some offensive plays. Detroit couldn't win a damn game with Matt Patricia as the head coach. How influential was he in that abysmal offense? This ain't comfortable for me, but it's New England. Ain't nothing ever wrong because Bill Belichick the coach. So y'all do what y'all will with that.
Rob?
I'm just going to respond with Marcus. Stop living in the past, man. Come on. They were with the Lions. They were head coaches. Matty P was on a scooter with a torn Achilles trying to be the head coach for the Lions. And we know the Lions have a history of losing, right? Okay, that's not like this is like a one-year thing. They haven't been able to win. So you look at the positions where they went. They were coaching from a long time. They were paper boys, basically, for the Patriots. Work their way up, get a head coaching job. Hey, you're going to give me $20 million guaranteed? I'll go coach the worst team in the league. I don't care, because that's what they're getting. These coaches are getting $5 million a year guaranteed. So Joe Judge still going to make $15 million from the Giants. Matty P's still going to make his money. They're going to help out offensively. Bill Belichick is still the best coach to ever do it, and we all know that. He'll have a bronze statue one day, him with a whistle in his mouth, with the cutoff sleeves in front of Gillette Stadium. So at that point, we know that's going to happen. What I want to see this year is you look at the draft. They went out and they got an offensive lineman for their first pick. I know it was controversial because he should have been a third-round pick, but anyway, they went and they got it. Why? Because they want to run the football and protect Mac Jones. They drafted two running backs in this draft as well. They already have a bunch of running backs. So that tells me they're going to lean on the running game, and they're going to have their 12 personnel out there in the game because they just paid two tight ends last year. We never saw them. They were out on the field. Let me look, 13% of the time. They were in 12 personnel. I think this year they're going to do away with the fullback. They're going to have more 12 personnel. They're still going to run the football a lot, but they're going to set up the play action pass. And Mac Jones is going to have a better year, too, than a rookie campaign. And I think the Patriots are going to be a very good football team. I'm not saying they're going to be better than the Bills because the Bills are stacked.
Right.
But they're still going to be a well-coached, hard-fighting football team.
If Mac Jones is better than last season ranked top 10 in completion percentage, pass yards, and touchdown passes among all rookies in NFL history. Let's bring Mike Reese back in here because you heard what Nink is saying there about what this offense may look like. Makes sense to his point based on who they've brought in. Is that what you're hearing, Mike, about what this may look like?
Well, Laura, I would say what they want to do is to be able to adjust each week. So maybe one week it's pound the ball on the ground. The other week, open it up in the passing game. And I think one point I would add to this whole discussion about the coaches, Matt Patricia last coached on offense in 2005 as an assistant offensive line coach. Joe Judge in 2019 as a wide receivers coach here in New England. But Bill Belichick says, if you are a good coach, that shouldn't matter. And he has expressed the utmost confidence in both of these guys to make this very unusual transition.
All right, we'll see how it all works out, and you hope for the best for Mac Jones. I think he offers a lot of promise for this Patriots team. That's Marcus moaning and groaning over there. Thanks to Mike Reese for all the news. Up next, Mike McCarthy returns to Green Bay Week 10 in an NFC heavyweight fight against the Cowboys. Expectations sky high in Dallas, but here why Swagoo, a little nervous about this offense. NFL Live is brought to you by Miller Lite. Taste you can depend on. The NFL schedule will be released in full tomorrow night at 8 Eastern on ESPN2. But we did get a huge game announced today. The Cowboys heading to Lambeau for a November matchup with the Packers. Can't wait for that one. And Marcus, as you look at the offensive roster in Dallas, what stands out to you?
Skill position is fine. Hopefully Zeke is healthy. Tony Pollard is still there. We know how dynamic he is with the ball. The Cowboys look at CeeDee Lamb as a number one option at wide receiver, which is why they were able to let Amari Cooper go. And then also Michael Gallup coming back, who's shown flashes of being a tremendous player. Just got to stay healthy and be more consistent. The offensive line is the issue, though. And that's what gives me pause on the Dallas Cowboys going into this season, because Tyron Smith, obviously, he misses time with injuries. When he's there, they are a completely different offensive line. You obviously have to make sure your $140 to $50 million quarterback is not only protected, but you also protect them by being able to hand the football off. When we saw Dallas having success early in the season, they were running the football at a high clip. They got to get back to that.
Well, I think Mike McCarthy's got to be better. And you think about last year, they had the clock management issues. You got Jerry Jones coming out and saying, well, man, you know, my DC, my OC, I wouldn't mind if they're my head coach too. You know, like you're like, whoa, okay. Like there's a little, he's looking.
Jerry, is this for the chat here?
He is looking for an opportunity. If this team doesn't start fast, if they have any issues, Sean Payton's out there, you know, having a Mai Tai right now on a beach, waiting for another opportunity. And I think Dallas would be very, very interesting and appealing to him. So if Mike McCarthy doesn't have a great showing in this season, 2020, he might not make it the whole year. We'll see. I don't know.
This game's November 13th. So, be interesting to see if he's still there. All right, Jeff, what do you think?
Well, Nick, I mean, you just mentioned Sean Payton's name. Jerry Jones even talked about Dan Quinn as defensive coordinator potentially making a great head coach. So there's been all these little weird references from Jerry Jones. And by the way, McCarthy has pointed out he's tried to take the high road and just said, I have a very good relationship with Jerry Jones. And it actually is believable. But to your point, it feels like this is already on this weird thing where Jerry's got his eyes on other places. And as long as things go well, it's fine. But by week 10, if things are sideways, he could be going into Lambeau Field, his former stadium, coaching for his job. So it's going to be an interesting game regardless, but certainly one that will have a lot of narratives following the Mike McCarthy angle of it.
Yeah, you know, Marcus, you know this Dallas market, you know this team so well, you know the expectations there. What are your thoughts on the McCarthy element of all this?
If Sean Payton shows interest in wanting to coach the Cowboys, he'll be the coach eventually. I don't give a damn what Mike McCarthy does. Listen, y'all, this ain't hard, okay? We having this conversation about Mike McCarthy because he sucked last year as a head coach in critical situations, okay? And Kellen Moore has some responsibility in that as well. The shining moment and the shining unit for the Dallas Cowboys is who everybody thought would be the worst unit, and that was the defense. And Dan Quinn, keeping Dan Quinn, who was flung around as head coaching candidates and had real valuable opportunities, to keep him was the big win of the offseason for the Dallas Cowboys. Mike McCarthy is on a prove-it year, to Nico's point and to Jeff Darlington's point. But also, have we not paid attention to Jerry Jones for a long time? When Wade Phillips was there, Jerry Jones wanted and was grooming Jason Garrett to be the head coach. He is waiting for Sean Payton to say, I want to come to Dallas. And they're going to make it happen. They're going to give the New Orleans Saints what they need. And he going to tell Mike McCarthy, I appreciate your service. I paid you a lot of money. Best of luck to you in the future, sir.
Yeah, Marcus, quickly, do you think that this would be the conversation no matter what, just based on what McCarthy's done? Or is it more about the fact that Sean Payton's available and he's not even doing anything else really right now?
Boogie, you and I sat on this show and we talked about how bad Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl. I would reverse this question back to you. Who do you think gives him the better chance, Sean Payton or Mike McCarthy?
That's why I asked you the question. It would definitely be Sean Payton. All right, we got something to end the show here with. One more thing before we go. This is an interesting tweet from The Athletic. They said Commanders rookie quarterback Sam Howell says he only eats chicken. He's never tried a burger or a steak, and he won't eat seafood. So he orders chicken tenders at steakhouses and brings his own tenders to team dinners. I'm wondering, like, does he put, like, just a bunch of chicken tenders in his backpack and you know, rolls up on the team dinner with a bunch of tenders in his pack? He also sounds like Dan Orlovsky, Marcus. What's going on with these quarterbacks and their lack of taste?
I have no idea. Is it a red meat thing? I don't know what's going on. Look, I love chicken, but I love steak. I order one every time I'm in Bristol, as you know. I don't understand what the hell Sam Howell not having a steak in his entire life means. Medical condition, possibly?
He needs to follow Swagoo, because every time I'm following his storylines, he's got something cooking on the grill. So, and it looks very, very good.
Come to my house.
It looks very good.
Jeff loves tenders, right, Jeff?
Big tots guy, tots and tenders.
I like tenders. I like tenders. I like steak.
I do, too.
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.